My father's family are from the Isle of Man, this tiny island surrounded by rough seas, wedged between the north of England and Ireland. It's a place of legend, with a way of speaking influenced by the Celts, Irish and Scots Gaelic, the Norse and English, with its own language, Manx Gaelic, and an Anglo-Manx dialect. But more than anything, this is a place I associate with my father and his stories of childhood holidays on the family farm overlooking the sea.
Now the beauty of the thing when childer plays is the terrible, wonderful length of days is. Up you jumps and out in the sun, and you fancy the day'll never be done. And you're chasing the bumbies, humming across in the hot sweet air among the goss, or gathering bluebells, or looking for eggs, or pelting the ducks with their yellow legs, or a-climbing and nearly breaking your skulls, or a-shouting for divilment after the gulls, or a-thinking of nothing but down at the tide, singing out for the happy you feel inside.
Betsy Lee, read by Lawrence Kermode, is the first poem in Thomas Edward Brown's collection of Fo'c'sle Yarns, stories of lost love told by Tom Baines, a Manx fisherman. Although he died at the end of the 19th century, T.E. Brown is still regarded as the island's national poet, and in his introduction to the Yarns, he offers advice to the future Manx poet.
No mincing this. Be nervous. Soaked in dialect colloquial, retaining the native accent pure, unchoked with Cockney balderdash. Old Manx is waning. She's dying in the Thaltan. Lift the latch, enter. And kneel beside the bed and catch the sweet long sighs to which the clue trembles and asks their one interpreter in you.
In Spe's Altera, read by current bard Annie Kissick, Brown describes Manx Gaelic as dying in the Thaltan, the ruined cottage of the past, and it's clear for him the future lies in dialect. But is he right?
Tammy Corn whale shaw for hera on senum char and vanin, nach gin perchabi troja.
To find out, I'm visiting the north of the island where my family come from, and the west, which is associated with the speaking of the Manx language. This is St John's, a few miles from the west coast of Peel, a crossroads linking the four corners of the island. Tynwald Hill dominates here. Named after the Norse for meeting place, its tiered mound and wide processional walkway is said to be the site of the oldest continuous parliament in the world. And it's here that Culture Vanin is based, an organisation that promotes Manx culture, literature and language.
Hello, Brisha.
Yes.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi,
nice to meet you.
Hi.
Dr. Brisha Madrill is director of Culture Vanin. The Isle of Man is a place that has a language and also an Anglo-Manx dialect. Can you tell me about the differences between the two?
So the Manx language, or Manx Gaelic, is an offshoot of Irish, but it's a language in its own right and has influenced the way people speak English, because there's a long period of transition between the languages and time when both of them were being spoken at the same time. So you get influence on word order. There could be individual words that have come from Manx that are used in Manx English. There are lots of ways of saying things like you own something or have something, and you'd say it is at me. So, ten lioch or em, you know, ten lioch em. This is, you know, it's my book. And so that means it's at me.
Manx Gaelic declined in the 19th century, the time when T.E. Brown was writing. But why did English become more popular?
Because it's seen as the language of advantage, because you're having increasing trade with people. Tourism is becoming very popular at the end of the 19th century. For a long time, you've had people coming in who are the ruling classes, who will say this is the language that we're going forward. So they are real ways of kicking the Manx language out of the way.
And do you think that dialect grew in popularity and the Manx language then waned because of that?
Yeah, in a weird way, I've described it as a holding device. And Cheshire Gilgach, the Manx Language Society, is celebrating its 120th anniversary, which is really lovely. So we were giving talks about some of those early people working for the society. And Sophia Morrison was one of them. She was one of the early secretaries, and she did a lot of work on a vocabulary of the Anglo-Manx dialect. And they write a lot about teaching people, especially young people, Manx sentiment. And when they secretly have worries that they're not going to give Manx language a strong enough future, they're using all these other devices. So Anglo-Manx dialect, theatre and poetry is a way of holding some of those patterns, the spoken patterns from Manx, but most importantly, this idea of Manx sentiment. And if you instill that in people, then in the future, you'll have printed all these other books, you'll have made recordings, and they'll be able to pick up the language again.
Sophia Morrison was an avid collector of words and folklore. A key figure in the Manx cultural revival, her most famous book is her collection of fairy tales, many of which use dialect, such as Finn McCool and the Buggane, read by Manx actor and singer Louise Ashcroft.
The Buggane was hearing great talk about the giant Finn McCool that was in the sound, so he came down from the top of Barul to put a sight on him. Finn knew that he was coming to have a fight with him, to see who was best man, and Finn did not want to fight. "Leave him to me," says the wife, "and I'll put the off-off on him."
The Manx cultural revival was part of a wider Celtic revival that took an interest in the speech of ordinary people, and Sophia Morrison helped to compile the book, A Vocabulary of the Anglo-Manx Dialect.
Shall we have a look at some of the words?
Yeah.
One I found I thought was really interesting was take, that it means to...
To haunt.
Yeah, so it's a word that's particularly used of fairies and ghosts.
Well, that's it. There are some words that are, you know, you'd know from being an English speaker, but they're used in a particular way. So we've also got another great one, a wobbler. A wobbler is a brisk person, and this comes from T. Brown's poetry, a bright little tight little wobbler, which I think is a fabulous phrase.
Yeah.
There are lots of words that describe people's character. So you could be a spivig, a little thin bit of a thing. You could be a lumper, which is applied to children.
What's a lumper?
Mm.
Is that somebody big? It sounds big.
Yeah, anything of good size. She's got a fine lumper of a boy at her. We've got other words, though, that have come from Manx. So one to describe the soil being shelly and full of crumbling stone is shligarach, and this is from the Manx, so a shlig is a shell. Some of them more relate to the pronunciation here, so you have a lot of a dental tiary or str sound. So a streel is a person of untidy and trailing attire, which I like.
And would that be written with an S?
S-T-H-R, streel. So you've got a tr sound going on in the middle.
Brisha is also a musician and tells me about a piece of music by her band Clash Vuor, written by teacher Aileen Clegg, about the changing nature of language.
And it really came out of this idea that people have about language, that perhaps we should be speaking it as they did in this century or in this decade. And so one of the, I think, young girls in her class came up with this phrase, Machesa Kishta, she'd come out of a box. It's how young children can coin new phrases and the language will change all the time.
Shoch and Jera, Tretin Chinya Roya Roygan Gaita Sarah, as how's to Roy to gather as to Luba, and not your outer curse to really foe smart.
A Vocabulary of the Anglo-Manx Dialect uses as its sources two of the island's great dialect poets, T.E. Brown and Cushag, the pen name of Josephine Kermode, which she took from the yellow flower Cushag, or ragwort. And her work has always been popular here.
There's a wicked little fella that goes among us here, and the wickedness that's at him is telling far and near. He's prowling in the agate and in every doer, and coaxing and persuading. And his name is Treideluir.
Treideluir, or Time Enough, her most famous poem, is about an elf or sprite, the spirit of procrastination.
The house is all through others. The childer's late for school. The man is spending all his time in looking for a tool. The woman's tired tremendous with clearing up the floor. And the one that's doing all the jail is wicked Treideluir.
And so I leave St John's and head north along the coast to Kirkmichael, the home of Wynne and John Dog Collister.
Make yourself at home.
John Dog is a former Manx bard, and until recently Wynne co-ran the Michael Players, who still keep the tradition of Manx dialect theatre alive.
I've got them going back here till 1987-ish.
What's this?
A little smook.
What does that mean?
Smoke.
Oh, right.
The Blair Suri, that's the courting flower.
Oh, them courting times.
It's courting times, but it's courting.
So the dumb cake's been done a few times.
Oh, yes. Well, I was cooking and cleaning and washing and mending from morning till night. And then if he wasn't all bright and cheerful like, he'd be grumbling at you. Take that Treadalua Delane of a man down the road there. There's that wife of his, up and out in the morning, and him never even up.
The Michael Player's performances are hugely popular.
We've performed dialect plays every year on January the 5th, Old Christmas Eve, and we are probably the only people in the world doing it.
And you were just showing me a culture award from Culture Vannin.
Yes. It's because we've still got a collection of plays. They've been stored and moved from house to house, person to person.
For a while, Winnie was the keeper of the plays, weren't you? They were in our house, and they've been taken on by the museum now.
And it's the greatest collection of Manx dialect plays in the world.
John Dogg shares with me his poem about the Tynwald Day Fair, where a man with the murrain, or flu, goes for some gossip, or skeet.
I had a slight touch of the murrain. The shoes, they were killing me feet. I was going to keep on the go though, or I wouldn't get a good skeet. I told all me friends and relations I'd see them all at the fair, and my laws, they would be while awful if none of them saw me there.
Do you write as you speak?
I throw odd words in that I use. I'm a bit of a dinosaur. I use words like brock. I made a brock of that. Brock is a mess, a mistake. Bruit, just as the green of the corn starts to come through, that was the bruit of my father. We'd be driving along and say, oh, look at the bruit. Kithig, left-hander. Shang, short. Cowl instead of cold. These are the sort of ways of saying things that I grew up with.
A mulcherain lived upon the brew.
Now my journey takes me from Kirkmichael eastwards to windswept Mackled Head.
His croft was all golden with cushug and furs. His daughter was fair to behold.
Many of the island's dialect writers have a connection with this place, including Cushug, whose father was vicar at Kirkmackled.
And the church is beautiful.
It is. It's a very, very special place here.
I know my great-great-grandfather was baptised here.
Yep.
And his parents were married here.
There's a legend that the sea god Manannan uses his cloak of mist to ward off the island's foes, and the mist descends on the ancient churchyard as I meet the current vicar, Christopher Loudon.
The whole site is very ancient as well, as you see the sort of carved stones from Viking and earlier times and the keels up part of the monastery that was here. It's starting to rain, let's get inside.
Yes, let's go inside the church. Hello, Bob. Hello.
Bob Carswell is a writer, translator and broadcaster in Manx and holds the ceremonial role of the reader at Tynwald. His book, Manannan's Cloak, offers a unique insight into the history of Manx literature and language.
The Gaelic language came into the island probably 5th century. Presumably it must have come in gradually at the time, but before that there are traces that they probably spoke a Brythonic language, the Welsh language that's become these days. But the Vikings arrived about 800 and became quite well established for a number of centuries. There's a great academic debate. Did the Gaelic language die out? Was it suppressed? But then you get to a point where surnames are being developed and you find a mixture. The son of Olaf becomes Mac Olaf, and then it becomes Cowler and Cowley, and you get these names which are crosses between the Gaelic influence and the Scandinavian influence. So there must have been a melding at some time, and the fact that the Manx language is quite often known as Chinian Amera, the tongue of the mother. And the idea behind that being Scandinavian-influenced people coming in, perhaps settling in the island, but taking Gaelic-speaking wives, and they would be raising their children, talking to them in Gaelic. So the Gaelic would be passed on through the influence of the mother.
The mother tongue.
Mm, that's it.
One of the many poets connected with this area is William Knish. In his poem, The Lament of the Mother Tongue, he describes meeting an old woman on Snae Fell, and this ancient lady, bent and battered with grief, turns out to be the spirit of the Manx language.
Oh, och, ta ma hiach yn dy trom, ma so, da fe sgarach fai shil niaws on the bre.
O Manxman, hear me now relate why thus I wander, thus despair. I am thy dying mother tongue, the first speech of this island race, dying because of the deep wrong of their neglect and my disgrace.
Martin Crogan's a tower, and mes corer owl tan vornen a chor oru rai.
From Jerby southward to the sound, mad as the beast the Crogan stings, the Manxmen a strange taste have found for English words and English things.
Lesh log rail no. My yaward slide dow the chor gael.
And what about the speaking of Manx Gaelic today?
People are taking an interest in the Manx language and a pride in it that they didn't have, say, 30 years ago, where some people thought it was a disgrace. But also, I think probably the same is equally true of Manx dialect. Now, T.E. Brown, the popularity of T.E. Brown was very, very great at one time. But I think there's probably a growing interest again now, because the Manx dialect is basically the Manx language with English words on a structure which is the Gaelic word order. That's why some of the expressions in Anglo-Manx sound a bit odd, perhaps, to standard English speakers who hear them.
T. Brown also has a connection with Kirk Mackled. He was married in this church. And I ask Bob, a fluent Manx speaker, what he thinks of Brown's assertion that old Manx will inevitably die in the Tholthan and we should close the door and leave it behind.
He was writing in dialect, but he must have known if the Manx was going to die away, then the dialect was sure to follow it, because the dialect is based on the Manx. So if people lose the identity of the Manx language itself, then the Manx dialect means nothing.
Many well-known islanders are buried at Mackled, including poet Kathleen Farragher.
We went to the wedding on Mackled Church Green. Oh, the like of that wedding has never been seen. Aye, a Timbleday wedding. God, aye, it was grand. And the place there was crowded, and some had to stand.
I've come to Glenmona to meet James Franklin from Culture Vannin to talk about Kathleen Farragher. Hello, James.
Hello.
So is this Glenmona Parish Hall?
Well, it's Doon Church Hall.
Kathleen Farragher was born in Ramsey, and like many of our poets, spent time working in England before finally returning to the Isle of Man.
And this is where Kathleen Farragher used to perform her work?
It is. It's where she first took the stage and first read aloud her poetry.
This is lovely. So on this stage?
Yeah, on this tiny little stage.
So I imagine when she performed in here it was packed.
Yeah, how do you think so? It would have been in WI meetings, and so there would have been a good scutch of friends and people she knew, and it would have been a right hoot.
James tells me more about Kathleen Farragher's performances.
Towards the end of her life, she lived pretty much just opposite one of the cottages here. But earlier on, she'd come out from Ramsey to join in the Mackle WI, and at the end of the meetings, they'd have their social half hour, just put on their own entertainments, and Kathleen soon was performing poems, and in performing them on this stage where we're now sat, she transferred from pretty poems written in English to humorous character studies in Manx dialect, which soon blossomed into the amazing thing she's well known for now. It's such a shame that her books have not been in print since she died, and so what I have in front of me are her collective works, and unless you are lucky enough to have these on your bookshelf, you will not be able to read her poems.
James set up the Manx Literature website, a wonderful resource offering access to works in both dialect and standard English, many of which have fallen out of print.
So we've got here all of Kathleen Farragher's books.
So what's the first one?
The first one she published was Green Hills by the Sea, which is an interesting one because half of the poems in here are in Manx dialect and the other half, exactly, are in what we'd call normal English, I presume. Mm-hmm.
And is there a difference in tone in how she writes in standard English and Manx dialect?
Yes, very much so. And you can see the difference developing. In that early on, there's a blurring between the types of poems she's writing in dialect or in standard English. Whereas later on, perhaps in Where Curlews Call, there's a definite difference. And she'll leave the poetic descriptions of place and beauty of the Isle of Man to the English, and the Manx dialect is given over almost entirely to these riotously funny character studies of Manx people.
Have you seen Ginny Ann, Mrs. Corkle? Oh, that one. She's never around, out gathering the news, as I'll bet you.
This archive recording of Well Well is read by Kathleen's friend, Constance Radcliffe, who often performed with her on this stage.
Aye, there's nothing much passes herself there, for all she's never been off the sod. She knows all that goes on, I can tell you. Births, deaths, or today's price of cod.
Kathleen Farragher is also the island's most prolific short story writer, and her tales in dialect, published each week in the Ramsey Courier, were incredibly popular.
These have been written partly as a little bit nostalgia, because at that time, these people would have been becoming rarer. Kathleen would have been aware that this is a voice or a type of person you'd meet less frequently.
So this would have been towards the end of her life in the 1970s, would it?
Yeah. Some of the things she was writing around these poems, maybe for the WI itself, there's a few notes from them talking about the changing aspects of the Isle of Man and how they saw Mackold as a last stronghold of Manxness. And you can see in her poems that the earlier on, certainly, there's a lot of sadness or a sense of something being lost. And then later on, when she catches her stride more, she's then not so much lamenting the loss, but celebrating these voices and recreating them on the page for us.
I've come full circle, back to St John's, where current Manx bard Annie Kissick teaches at the Bunskull Gilgach, the Manx language primary school.
Hello!
Hi, Annie, nice to meet you.
In her work, Annie draws on both Manx dialect and Manx Gaelic, which she speaks fluently. She compares her use of language to the island's tradition of baking bonnag, something halfway between bread and a cake. It's all about choosing your own recipe.
I can't pretend, and I don't want to pretend, I represent a pure tradition of any sort. I'm following my own things. I like the taste of those words, if you like. Bake a bit of bonnag the way they do in Ronnag, and slay the butter on it, and slay it mighty thick. For to bake a bit of bonnag the way they do in Ronnag is to get the buttermilk just so, and that's the very trick. Now, there's ones who go for currants, and some are full sultanas, and others go bananas if it's anything but plain. But go careful with the soda, for you do not want a load of bitter crumbs or odour that'll cause you to complain.
As a child, Annie was influenced by one of the great figures of the Manx cultural revival, Mona Douglas, who was herself a protege of Sophia Morrison, and she's brought along some photographs to show me.
This is Eglach Fanon, the young Manx. I'm this girl over here on the left. Oh. And these other girls, we're all here in our Manx tartan kilts, socks at various stages of falling down and staying up.
And how old would you have been there?
10 or 11. Yeah. And here on the far left, also in a Manx outfit, long woolly skirt and a tartan shawl and a sort of mob cap, I think, and looking like she's conducting us is Mona Douglas. This is at the revival of the Laxey Fair, and I think it's about 1971. Laxey's where Mona Douglas actually came from, a mining village. It's got the famous Laxey Wheel there. And our job as Eglach Fanon, I think, from this, was to sing a few songs in Manx, and somebody must have recorded us.
Yeah, there's a microphone.
There's a microphone there.
Mona Douglas grew up in Liverpool in a Manx family before moving permanently to the island. Also a collector of folk music and dance, she started writing at an early age.
She does have a few dialect poems, but mainly her poetry is in standard English. Mm. Her little plays are very definitely that they're in, and I think rather good Manx dialect, and she got a good ear, and she'd listened out for things. She visited a lot of the old people in her family and came here for extensive holidays and spent a lot of time with people who at that point would be speaking English with a lot of Manx in it and a lot of Manx affecting the way it was spoken.
Annie tells me about Mona's poem, Billy the Dolan.
This was the only one I've ever heard her recite and knew by, I think, herself. Yes, an old woman,
oh,
so
really?
She must have liked it.
Yeah. And you think she was quite young when she wrote it?
Oh, definitely. And she knew this character, this Billy the Dolan.
Is this a nickname or does it mean
it's
something?
It's a nickname. Well, a dolan is a Manx word, but it's an all-purpose word for a sieve or a tray for, you know,
sieving corn. Or,
yeah. It's also the word now for a drum. When Billy the Dolan was living alone in his little white house up the highland, there were stories of Lua going a-telling on us. Oh, the lick wasn't heard on the island. Now Billy the Dolan is buried and gone. But there's one say the fairies go kynin' around his owl house, with the wind in their hair and keekin' and sobbin' and signin', like wishin' them back from the churchyard again, for old Billy was friends with them all. But he's restin' respectable under the mowl, and he'll never be hearin' them call.
I wonder if Annie thinks there's a choice to be made between using Manx language and Anglo-Manx dialect.
I think the important thing is to sort of fight the purists. If I want to muddle up all the languages that I've got and all the ways, I'm going to own all the people you are and own all the languages you've inherited.
So has T. Brown's prophecy that dialect would replace the language here come true? In 2009, UNESCO declared Manx Gaelic extinct. And for many who live on the island today, identity lies in the dialect they speak. But there's also now a resurgence of Manx Gaelic, with new native speakers like the children Annie teaches, who wrote to UNESCO in Manx to tell them to revise their statement about the death of their language. I wonder what the writers of the past would have thought.
Mona Douglas, now she's not so far away in time, she would never have been surprised. She always wanted this to happen, and she knew it would happen. Sophia Morrison, she wanted Manx language taught in schools. I don't think she envisaged that a school would happen where the language would be taught as the means of communication and learning at all. And then further back then, we've got T. Brown and all. He might well have considered Manx not to be of any worth as a language in terms of its literary value. And there's always been a degree of that amongst the learned gentlemen of the island, the rating of languages, almost like an imperialistic thing going on.
Yeah, and dialect nearly always comes as the bottom
of the heap. But actually Manx Gaelic would probably have come at the very bottom. Yeah. Yes, but I'm glad all these languages are getting their time. And maybe in the future you'll have the dialect rising up again. Who knows?
It seems that T.E. Brown was wrong. Manx dialect and Manx language are dependent on each other. And even when one declines and the other rises, if one survives, then they both can survive.
The winter has come, the nights are long. We walk word-weaving to your houses, hopped you nay, lisping softly limping verses, nursing words half-heard in puzzlement, absurd, abandoned, Manx. Melody's uncertain ripple roars at the tight-drawn curtained windows of the dull, for we sing songs of turnip skull, of time-dented, long-looted, flesh-shattered moot.